How y'all doing this morning? It's going to be kind of hard for you to relate to the message this morning just because it's about being hungry. And I know I've seen some of y'all eat this morning, so there ain't no way that you're hungry. But try to get in that mindset, all right? Probably most of us are not aware of what it really means to be really, really hungry. Really starving hungry. If you've ever lived in a really unique situation, you may have. But as a general rule, we probably have not experienced that. You know, hungry to the point of starvation or thirsty to the point of your body shutting down. So we can live out, what, how many days without food? 40? How many days without water? About 3? How many minutes without air? About 8? Yeah, we don't know what it means. We don't know what it means to be on the point of starvation. So the verse in Matthew today, we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount as we started a few weeks ago leading up to the Resurrection Sunday. And this week is that verse. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. But if you can try to get in the mindset where Jesus was in the circumstances around him, in that agriculture society with a couple bad crop years, people could be on the point of starvation. In that part of the world where water was rare and it's so hot and dry, thirst would always be a challenge for you. So it's in that setting that Jesus uses this idea to help people understand what it's like to really hunger and thirst after him, if you can get in that situation. The food source of a righteous person. Augustine, the early church father, this is what he said. He says, imagine that God appeared to you and said that he would make a deal with you and that he would give you everything that you wish for, everything that your heart desired, except one thing only he would hold back. You could have anything you could imagine. Nothing would be impossible. Nothing would be considered sinful or forbidden. You could have anything, but here is the other side. But he said, in doing that, you will never see my face. You will never know me, really, personally, in a personal way. That's what that means, see my face. So if you would you be willing to give up really knowing me for everything else in the world? Why, he asked, did a terrible chill creep over your heart at those last words, unless there is in your heart a love for God? A desire that you might not be able to know him if you made that other choice. In fact, if you wouldn't accept that deal, you really love God above all things. For look what you just did. You gave up the whole world and more to know him. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. You know, when we talk about righteousness, it says, blessed are they. Remember, in our study, we've learned that blessed is, a lot of them translate it happy. It's not just happy. There's a lot more to it. Really, blessed means one who understands they are approved by God because of their relationship with Jesus. Not because they have money, not because they've been baptized, not because they do this, that, but because of what Jesus did and they accepted Christ, God approves of them. Therefore, they are satisfied, understanding that. Okay, that's what blessed means. So he says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And this is the question, well, what is righteousness? What does that mean? Is it just the right standing before God? Jesus gives us that. The central question is, who is righteousness? It's really not what is righteousness, because righteousness is not a thing. You know, righteous is not being baptized. Righteous is not giving money. Righteousness is not that. Righteousness is Jesus. Look at the verse we're going to read. It is primarily a person, and that person is Jesus. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after Jesus. That's how you translate it. For they shall be completely satisfied. Look at this verse in 1 Corinthians. But him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made to us wisdom and what? Righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. He is. So when we say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, who seek after Jesus, they will be satisfied. And the first question always comes up, well, if I have Jesus because I'm saved, then why would I want any more of it? That's the whole question. You know, and simply, we're going to expound it a little bit as we go, but does that mean if you ate yesterday that you never want to eat again? Some of you ate just a few minutes ago, but in 2 hours, you're going to eat again. Ain't that right? Well, wait a minute, why not? Wasn't you just satisfied a while ago? Yeah, but that doesn't last. That's exactly what that means. You know, you can't survive off of just one meal. And Jesus understood that. That's why he used this analogy of if you really are hungry and you want to become conformed to the image of Jesus, we'll see it's an experiential thing where you should be getting better and you should be getting stronger. But in order to do that, you got to feed every day, not just one time. Look at this verse in Matthew 4:2. And when he had fasted, Jesus, 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. What? He'd been with the Father on high for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was physically hungry. Why is that? Why? Because even though he had Jesus, there is a physical need we have that has to be fed only by physical food. You cannot survive in a physical world just on spiritual stuff. Jesus didn't build our bodies that way. Isn't that right? Same thing. So as Jesus, even though he had been with the Father on a spiritual high, it did not satisfy his physical need. And in so being, the opposite around is you can't eat enough food to satisfy your spiritual hunger. That's it. That's why Jesus says, I'll be the one who can satisfy that. But just like you have to eat every day physically to eat physical food, you will have to seek after me with that hunger and thirst, and I'll satisfy your spiritual need, and you can grow. It takes that. All of that spiritual food could not satisfy his physical body, and we are also spiritual people, and physical food is not going to meet the need of our spirit, just as spiritual food cannot meet the need of our body. It goes both ways. So when Jesus says that, it should be simple for us to understand, oh yeah, I have to eat physically, so I have to feed on Jesus daily. Just one time doesn't do it. If I want to get any stronger, if I want to get any better, if I want to be any more like Jesus, the food of the spiritual is Jesus and righteousness. We must continually remember that we have to source and satisfy the spiritual part of our nature. That's one of the reasons we come together. You know, if the church wasn't important from a standpoint of a dynamic with us getting together, Jesus would have never created it. There's a dynamic when we come together, you do not get by sitting out there worshiping under a tree. Oh, well, it's just not the same thing, because if that would have been the case, Jesus said, well, just go out there and worship under a tree. You don't have to get together with each other. But what does it say in Hebrews? Some of them had already started not going to the congregational meetings together. He says, why did you forsake the assembling of yourselves together? As a matter of some means, he said, don't do that. Why? Because God didn't create us that way. We have to have that. There is something there in that dynamic that is absolutely necessary. Until we nourish ourselves with the food that God has given to meet our spiritual need, we will always be dissatisfied if we're trying to fill the spiritual need with worldly stuff. You know, houses, cars, money, prestige, that's all that. If that's what we're trying to use to fill our spiritual need, we will always be dissatisfied. That's what he's saying. He said, you got to feed, but you got to feed the right way. The focus of a starving person, not just man, all of us get hungry sometimes, right? In Eternity magazine some years ago, E.M. Blaylock told the story of Major Gilbert, who had written his book, The Last Crusade. It was during World War I when they were trying to liberate Palestine, and they were running the Turks out, and it was a battle from Beersheba where they were chasing them, and they were headed to Sharia. And he says it was there in that situation where the Turks were retreating and we were after them, and we were driving so hard that we had outdistanced our camels that were carrying the water. And they were thirsty, said our tongues were getting purple. The ones that fell behind were never seen again. You know, it's dry. Everybody is dehydrating. They're running and they're pushing and they're pushing. And he said, and we finally made it. So everyone, and he listed the order of the people who got to get to the cisterns. They had big cisterns of water, cool, clear water when they reached to Shira that they could get to. But he said, it took 4 hours for everyone to get water once they got there. And he said, we know now exactly what it means when the Bible says those who thirst for their life. Why? Because had they not been refreshed then, they would have died. Some of them did die on the trek. Do we ever look at that? Do we ever look at like, I want to pursue Jesus and what he has for me so much that I will die if I don't get it? That's literally what it means. Today, none of us have ever done that, you know. You may have had a couple occasions where you didn't have anything to eat for a little while, but I don't know if you were driven to starvation or thought you would starve. Anybody ever been to that place where you just, I didn't mean if you felt like, but literally, would you have died had you not gotten something to eat? Or would you have collapsed physically because you went so long without water? Not that just that you felt like it. The only time I could come up with was one time back when I was probably 10 or 11. It was a long time ago, and we had to reshake peanuts, and it was two rows at a time. It's a thing about this wide, okay? And it's behind the tractor, and I'm out there at like 9:30 at night, and you're in a field right by yourself. They're picking peanuts over in another field, and I'm 10 or 11, and I just ate at lunchtime, okay? But I'm starving to death. You know, I'm already about 30, 40 pounds overweight at that point in time. But I just, you know, when are they going to bring me something to eat? Because you're running about a half a mile an hour at night. Blackness everywhere. All you can see is just a little bit in front of you, so you have enough room to turn right around. You know, that's the only time I can really remember. They're never going to come. You say you were out there by yourself. Yeah, I was out there by myself. You know, they were in another field. And finally they came with a box of chicken. I guess that's why I started eating chicken, huh? I said, man, I'm starving to death. I wasn't starving, but I thought I was. I'm not talking about you just think you're starving. I mean, were you really to the point where if I don't get something to drink, I'll be dead? That's what he's talking about. Are we ever driven like that to pursue Jesus and what he wants for us in our life? That's the question. To such a world, hunger meant the hunger of a starving man and thirst that of a man who would die if they did not get water. It's a little bit different if we can just try to get our mindset there, because I don't know if any of us have ever really been there. Do you think that you would like to be pleasing to God and really taste of his goodness? Has that ever been a desire of your heart? If so, what are you willing to do to get there? You know, what are you willing to do with that? Do you want it as much as a starving person wants food or a thirsty person wants something to drink? Paul says that true righteousness only comes from Christ. It is what he gives to us, right? He imputes his righteousness to us when we trust him because we're sinful. And it says that Christ, when we trust him, takes his righteousness, gives it to us. He takes our sinfulness and takes care of it on the cross. So he imputes, he gives his righteousness to us. You say, well, if I have his righteousness, why do I want to seek it anymore? Well, you ate yesterday, why do you want to eat again today? Well, I'm hungry. Exactly. We should be hungry after what Jesus wants to do in our life. Of him controlling, of him conforming us to his will. So we go to the right places, we date the right people, we do business the right way, and we treat our families the right way. Conforming, all of those things. Surely we should be a little bit better now than we were when we started. Isn't that right? That's the whole purpose of it, he says. On the other hand, for the Christian, there ought to be a growing experiential righteousness. We ought to be more like Jesus today than we were a year ago. Why? Because you're feeding on Jesus. You're seeking Jesus. Paul will give us a picture of that in just a moment. A personal holiness, a righteousness of speech, a conduct, a thought, and a motive. It should be more clear now than it was when we first started, right? You know, there was a few years I lifted weights just to stay out of trouble, you know. I was farming, was single, still living at home, and I'd always had a few weights that I just fooled around with, never in competition or anything, but therefore, I just realized there was so much craziness going on in the world, I just need to stay away from that for a while, so that's exactly what I did. So, you know, I'd work all day, and then I'd go home in this little house that was on our farm, and I'd lift weight for about 3 hours. Here's what I learned. I couldn't just eat lunch and lift weights for 3 hours. I had a plan, because I didn't get home usually until 8 p.m. I couldn't wait to eat at 8 p.m. So I ate a good breakfast, and I ate a good lunch, but I didn't get to go home for lunch most of the time, so I started taking with me tuna fish sandwiches. I didn't like them then. I don't like them now. Tuna fish. It was easy, had a lot of protein, didn't have a lot of fat. So I would make a tuna fish sandwich, a thick tuna fish sandwich, on whole wheat bread, again, cheese sandwich, and I'd put it in a little cooler just because it was so hot it would spoil, and I knew that, so I had to keep it. And about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd choke it down. Did I like it? No, I didn't. Did I understand it was necessary? Yes, I did. So that's what I did. So, you know, I made myself do it. In a sense, a starving person will find something to eat if it's possible. If you really want to be like Jesus more every day, you will do something about it. You have to do something about it. Jesus doesn't just make all that happen. He's not going to just make you a better husband. He's not going to just make you a better wife. He's not just going to make you a better child. There are some things we have to do, and that's what he means. Are you hungry and thirsty for that? That's the purpose. That's it. In Matthew's gospel, the word here used for righteousness simply means this: conforming to the will of God. Do you want to be more like Jesus? Are you so committed to that that you hunger and thirst for that? And if you are, you're going after it. You're doing something to get that need met. If you really desire him, if you really hunger for Jesus, you're going to do something about it when you're really, really hungry. When a person knows they are in a starving condition, their interests are totally different than anyone else. They're not thinking about the stock market. They're not thinking about what kind of car. They're not thinking about their house. They're thinking about, I am about to starve to death. I want something to eat. It would be like this. You know, you've invited me over to your house to have this luxurious meal, and you know that I haven't been eating very well, so I'm very, very hungry, really hungry. And you take me into your library, and you're showing me all this stuff you've got, and I'm thinking, who cares? Let's go to the table. You know why we came? We came to eat. Who cares what all you got in here? You see how that works? What happens, we'll see in just a moment, why is it that we don't seek? Why is it that we're not hungry? What's wrong with that? If I already have Jesus, and some people say this, well, Jesus, if I trusted him and I have him, why do I need to keep doing this? Why should I desire him? The Apostle Paul said what? When he was an old man, after he had gone through all this stuff with Jesus, what did he say? He says, oh, that I might know him. He had only touched the hem of his garment. The moment we trust Christ, we just have a fraction. There's so much more about him conforming us to his image. Do we really want it? Do we really want it as much as we like Krispy Kreme donuts? Krispy Kreme donuts, they don't even last, 2 hours? They don't. That sugar, you get a high and then I want another one. Why is it? Why is it that way? Christians, therefore, must not simply desire to be a little bit better. They must really hunger and thirst for it. Are we ever driven for that? He says, blessed are they, happy are they. A believer who is really hungry and thirsty for righteousness concentrates increasing time and intentionality on knowing and doing God's will. That's conforming to Jesus. This means what? That he becomes all that I'm concerned with. He tells me who to hang out with. He tells me how to handle my business. He tells me how to treat these people. He tells me how to do, and I'm conforming to his will. Why? Because he's the one feeding me. You know, the only way to get stronger is you have to eat. And unfortunately, I'm afraid vegetables only won't do it. That horrible, horrible tuna fish is pretty important. Anyone ever fed on tuna fish very much for that reason? It's despicable, isn't it? I don't eat it today because of that. I ate so much of it. They learn to obey when some new understanding, you know, it's just like, you know, I didn't eat broccoli till I was 25 years old. We just didn't grow it where I was. You know, we ate all that other stuff. And, you know, I didn't even know I liked it. Now I like it. I started liking it then. When we are introduced to something new because we're seeking Jesus, then what? Then we start to act on that. So we're conforming in a new way to His will. And we fear disobedience and disappointing than more God more than anything else when that's our focus. Now, to be completely satisfied does not mean you'll never want to eat again, right? Some of you at Christmas, Thanksgiving, we eat lunch and we say, I don't want anything for the next week. But tonight at 7, you're in the refrigerator again. Why is that? That's just the kind of way we're made. Same thing. You can't say, well, you know, I got it all with Jesus the first time. No, you didn't. You got salvation the moment you trusted Him, but conforming to His will is a constant process, and we need to seek that just like we're seeking food. You want to eat every day, don't you? Most of us. If you ate a great big meal yesterday, you don't want anything else today? Some of you just ate back there in an hour and a half, you're going to want something else. Ain't that right? You know, bless his heart, I won't call his name because he might hear it on the internet. Good friend of ours who's a really good cook in another part of the state. We would be eating this meal, and while we're eating that meal, he's talking about what we're going to eat at the next one. And I'm thinking, let's just get through this one, all right? I said, why? Because he's kind of consumed with it. He's a good cook, and he's always planning, and you know, that's kind of the way it is. Do we ever do that? Jesus, I know you taught me this, and I'm working on this. What about this next thing? Or do we wait 3 or 4 days, or 3 or 4 years, or 30 years before we even seek something else that He wants to do in our life? Is it a constant thing like eating? Jesus never allows us just to eat once and then be satisfied. There's just the joy of feasting on the Lord Jesus. That's the starting point. And then the rest of it, you know how it is. When you find something you really, really like to eat, you just never get enough of it, do you? Unless you make yourself sick with it. Then you probably don't want any for a while. Ain't that right? You gorge yourself out. You know, like the little boy, he had already eaten way too much at the dinner table. And they said, you know, you want some pie? He said, oh, no. If I eat anything else, I'll explode. You felt like that before, right? They said, but we got some homemade cherry pie. He said, bring it on and stand back. That's it. We think just one shot does it. It doesn't. You don't do that way in your eating, but it's okay with Jesus. I'm not talking about all the second blessing stuff. Here's how that works. The second blessing is, you understand you didn't get it all in the first one. And the third one is, you understand you didn't get it all in the second one. And you, every time you learn something new Jesus wants to do in your life, you say, oh. So guess what? It's a constant thing. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you're going to see how you're not like Him and you need to be conformed to His image. So it's a cycle. The more you see the wrong in your life is the more you see you have wrong in your life. Oh, well, if I can just get this one done. No, you get that one fixed and 10 more show up. You know, it's kind of like counseling. You know, there's never one. There's always a spare. There's always a habit someone has, and there's one or two with it. There's always one plus a spare. So you deal with this one, and you better believe the other one's going to come up. That's just the way that goes. That's just the way it is. And it's the same thing. When we like something, we really can never get enough of it, right? Especially if it satisfies us. Like, you know, what satisfies you? Chocolate? Not everyone eats chocolate. Bless your heart. If you don't, I'm sorry. It's really good. I know it's not always good for us. Trust in the living God who gives us richly all the things to enjoy, is what Timothy says. God has it. He can satisfy us. God is not going to let us just feast once on Him, one time, and then that's it. There's the first feast where it starts, and then it comes after that. It's ongoing and ongoing and ongoing. Where once I tasted this, man, I like it, so I want to keep eating it because of it. And when Jesus satisfies us, we never get enough of that. We have a desire for the next thing He wants to teach us, for the next thing He wants to change in our life. We want to keep it going, and we have that same thirst and hunger as we do in our physical life. Why is it that people are not hungry? You know, have you ever thought of a time in your life when you were not hungry? It's usually probably because when we're sick, we don't want to eat much, right? Or, you know, sometimes, is that about the only reason? I know I didn't eat hot dogs for a long, long time because I remember back at someone's birthday party a long, long time ago, I ate too many. And for a long time, I didn't want any. I can eat them now. But, you know, why is it that we don't want to? Usually, if we're sick, we don't want to eat. What's wrong with a person who never wants to eat? Something's wrong with them. Well, you're not going to live long, number one. Why is it? Why is it that people don't want to eat? Number one, they could be sick. Number two, they could be stuffed with something else. You know, if we don't seek after Jesus like thirst and hunger, that means we are sick somewhere along the line. Some kind of sin is going on in our life that would cause us not. That's just the way that works. That would be one reason. And number two is, the reason we wouldn't want to seek Jesus is we're allowing the world out there to so fill us that Jesus, we don't have any room for him. Whatever the world offers. And boy, they offer a lot. Other than that, we should be seeking. We should be thirsty. We should be hungry. That's what he said. And blessed are those. He said, I'll satisfy them. The full soul hates a honeycomb, Proverbs says. You know what that's like, right? If you've just eaten a whole big 2-pound bar of chocolate, you ain't really wanting anything else, right? That's what he's saying. The person who is full, they don't even want sweet stuff. I know everybody doesn't like sweet stuff, but most of us do. Isn't it right? Now, why is it when you're so full of food, even sugar stuff doesn't appeal to you? That's what that means. If you're full, even honey doesn't sound good to you, but the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. When we're really hungering for Jesus, everything that he gives us tastes good. When he shows us the things in our life that needs to be fixed, when he shows us the things he's already done for us, all those things, boy, they taste good. Even though, you know, sometimes the bitter things in our life are good things for us. That's what that is. Sometimes when you get sick, it shows you what you have. Sometimes when you lose a loved one, it reminds you what's important, that kind of thing. Even the bitter thing, if we're really trying to say, Jesus, what you want to show us? We cannot let the devil cause us to think negatively about God. Because Timothy says what? He gives us richly all the things. He wants to satisfy us. He's not trying to hold out on us. He wants to give us exactly what it takes to satisfy us. You know, a lot of people in here like cold drinks. You know, Cokes and stuff. But, you know, those of you that's drinking very much, they don't really satisfy you. You know, there's just something about it. That what's the best thing? Water. That's what satisfies. Oh, that stuff tastes good, but it's really not what satisfies us. You know, all this other stuff that we try to go after sometimes, it may taste good, but why are we so dissatisfied? Because that's not what Jesus intends to satisfy us. That's exactly what he means. Are we really hungry to know Jesus better and to give him control of our lives? What are we willing to sacrifice in order to be daily satisfied with Jesus? Don't answer this out loud. Do you have one thing that you just have to eat every day? Anyone? Oh, I can't leave the house without my coffee. I'm sorry. Oh, I just got to have this every day or I won't make it. Whatever that is, if it's a Reese's cup or whatever it is. You feel that way about anything? You ever feel that way about Jesus? Jesus, I'm not going to be satisfied today unless this. Unless I just spend time with your word and just read something that you've written to me. If I can just get that, I can be satisfied with today no matter what else happens. That's what that is. What are we willing to sacrifice in order to be daily satisfied with Jesus? Wow. What do we seek the most? What are we hungry for? You don't answer this out loud. What's your favorite food? I like red meat. You vegetarians, I'm sorry if you think I'm cruel. I think that verse in the Bible says when he gave us dominion over that we could eat it to survive. I don't want to abuse that, you know, but I can live without red meat about 2 days. 3 if I can get a chicken, but that's white meat. It's all right. What do I have to have every day? Is there anything? That's what he's talking about. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you to remind us of what should be our attitude towards seeking you daily. If we are one of your children, if we have committed our life to you and understand that Jesus' blood has taken away our sin, and we're in a relationship with you, Lord, remind us how it's essential for us to feed on what you would give us daily so that we can become more like you, so a world around us who desperately needs to be satisfied by you can see it. Lord, help us forsake the world in those areas where there's no way it can satisfy us, and that you could be glorified in our lives. Thank you for loving us first and being patient with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.